You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. As you know, the Lord has spoken to us about what to expect this year. There's three things: recovery, restoration, and reconciliation. And these things will come to pass because of divine instruction, divine opportunity, and divine appointments. So you need to listen to what the Lord is saying. You need to follow His instruction and then be ready when the opportunity presents itself for you to increase or you to minister, for you to help somebody. You have to be sensitive to the opportunities that God give you to be a greater blessing to everybody that's around you. Amen. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting God to give me instruction, divine instruction. I'm expecting opportunities like never before. And I'm looking for divine appointments, favor connections. Amen. They're going to help us do the will of God. I'm going to help somebody else do the will of God, find the will of God. And I believe in return, God will help us do what we need to do in the kingdom. Amen. How many know it's all about the kingdom? Kingdom first. Amen. Everybody say kingdom first. Got to put the kingdom first. Amen. And so this is going to happen because we trust God. You remember I shared with you two men in Jeremiah, one that did not trust in God, but trusted in man and the arm of flesh. The Bible says that he would be like a shrub in the desert and that he would not see good when it came. In other words, when you don't trust God, the goodness of God will pass right by you and you'll not have the discernment to see it. When you don't trust God, you lose your spiritual perception and discernment. The Bible says that he would dwell in dry places. That means that he would live in a place where there's not enough, where it's barren and dry and just a hard place. But the Bible says about the man that trusts in God, the Bible says that he would be like a tree, not a shrub, but a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. The Bible says he will not see heat when it comes. In other words, there'll be protection from the heat. And the Bible says that he will not even see when there's poverty in the land. When there's famine in the land, he won't be affected by it. So trusting in God is the key to living. Amen. Learning how to trust God, learning how to believe his word. Amen. It'll be a protection for you, and it'll keep you green and vibrant and full of life and full of joy and full of victory and not dry and barren and depressed and full of criticism and, you know, just murmuring and complaining. You know, you find people like that, that's because they're in a dry place. Okay? But people that are living their life by the word, they will live by the streams of life, by the rivers of living water. Amen. And they'll always be positive and they'll have a great attitude and they will look at life through the eyes of joy and they'll see victory even in the midst of defeat. You know, they see things that can't be seen by other people. And God wants you to live by faith and he wants you to trust him and to believe him that he can do what he has declared that he's going to do. Now, I believe that the Lord has spoken that 2012 is going to be the best year of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I heard Kenneth Copeland say that last week. 2012 be the best, be the year of God's best. Amen. You haven't seen God's best blessings yet. And I say if you already had God's best, go on home. Go on be with the Lord. If you didn't experience everything God got for you, just go on home. If everything from now on is downhill for you, then go on home. I haven't had God's best, and I've had a lot of good, and I've had some good. I've had God's good, but I believe there's better, and I believe there's more. Amen. I believe that I haven't seen the best that God can do. Amen. You haven't seen God's best yet, don't care how old you are. This has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with youth. Amen. It has everything to do about what you can believe God for. Amen. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at an example of great faith in the Bible because that's the level that God wants you operating at. God doesn't want you to have a little bit of faith. He doesn't want you having shipwrecked faith. Amen. He wants you to have great faith, strong faith. He doesn't want your faith to be weak and puny. He wants you to live with strong faith, great faith. That's what we're aiming for. Amen. Because great faith produces great results. Tell your neighbor, say, great faith will produce great results. All right. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 5. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just read down because there's healing in this. There's healing in this chapter. Let's get all of it. Let's look at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Here's an instant miracle right here that we can settle forever. Is it God's will for you to be healed? Yes, it is. Jesus is always willing to heal. Amen. And Jesus said to him, see thou tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offered the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. Now we see an example here. The Bible's given us the Holy Spirit, saw fit to put this in the Word of God. An example of someone who moved with great faith. Amen. And then we see that great faith produced a great result. But we need to look at this. What made the centurion's faith so great? Why was his faith great, and why did Jesus marvel? That means Jesus was really amazed. And if you can amaze Jesus, you done a good work. I mean, he's the creator of everything. Amen. How many know he's the creator? And if you can amaze him, I'm going to tell you, your faith can amaze him even today. He can still be amazed by your faith. I was reading that one time and I said, I wonder if I've ever done anything or said anything that amazed Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that I have and you have, if you've ever made a statement of faith from your heart, I'm going to tell you, he still loves faith, and he's still looking for faith. In fact, the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will faith still be present on earth? Will people still be living by faith, trusting in God when he come back? I'm going to tell you, I want to know why his faith was so great. Because he received a great miracle for his servant. Amen. And it caused Jesus to marvel. Have I ever said anything that made Jesus marvel? Have you? I'm going to tell you, you get an opportunity today. We can marvel Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's take a look. Let's go back and let's look at what's happening here. And let's look at this and let's glean from these scriptures here what we need for where we are today so that we can do God's will effectively and efficiently. Look at verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. Now, the centurion was a Roman soldier. He's not even an Israelite. He's a Roman soldier. But Luke chapter 7 tells us that he heard about Jesus. And when he heard about Jesus and what he was doing, it caused faith to arise in his heart. This soldier was a good soldier. In fact, the Bible says that he had even built a synagogue for the Jews, and the Jews were really impressed with him. He was a man that loved the nation of Israel. He loved the Israelites. Even built him a synagogue, a Roman soldier who built the synagogue. But this man heard about Jesus, and he had a servant that got sick. And so he sought for Jesus. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, he was engaged in a conversation with this Roman soldier. His servant was sick. In other words, he was paralyzed and in intense, excruciating pain, tormenting pain. And Luke chapter 7 tells us that he was ready to die. This servant was almost dead. And he was in excruciating pain. Now, this is important for us to realize what's going on here. Jesus' response to this officer's request was immediate. Jesus' response was, "I will come and heal him," showing his desire and willingness to heal, to restore, and to deliver from oppression. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is willing right now to bring healing in your life. Jesus is willing right now. You ain't got to twist his arm. You ain't got to beg him. I'm going to tell you, he has a willing heart right now because he's already provided healing for you. He took your sickness and your disease when he was on the cross so you could have life, health, and strength. He's willing to bless you right now. "I will come and heal him." Shows the desire of God and his willingness to bless us whenever we need blessing. It shows his desire and his willingness to heal us whenever we're in need of healing. Amen. This is good news, y'all. If you receive this word today, you're going to have God's best this year. Look at verse 8. "The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.'" Now let's examine these two scriptures right here, verse 8 and 9. "The centurion answered and said, 'I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but do what? Speak the word only, and what's going to happen?'" All right, now he's not saying that my servant might be healed. "I wish my servant would get healed. It's possible that he'll be healed." He told Jesus, he said, "Speak the word only, and my servant will," or "shall." I'm going to tell you, "shall" and "will" is two of the strongest words in the human language. "Will be healed." "Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." The officer's conversation with Jesus was brief and to the point. No circumlocution. Y'all know what circumlocution is, right? The use of an excessive amount of words to express a simple idea. That's circumlocution. So he was right to the point. He didn't even introduce himself. Didn't even tell Jesus his name. Didn't even give Jesus his qualifications. "Lord, I have a servant at home that's grievously tormented. Speak the word only and he'll be healed." Right to the point. Amen. His response is remarkable and amazing. His words and actions reveal his heart. They reveal his wisdom, his understanding, and his knowledge of how things work in our world. He understood it. He had a heart of compassion. That's the first thing I want you to see, is that he had a heart of compassion. He identified with the suffering of his servant, and he moved with compassion to get help because of his deep inner yearning and desire to eliminate the pain and suffering that he sought out Jesus for his servant. So this man was full of compassion. This man, no doubt, could have gotten another servant. But he cared about his servant's soul that he had such a deep yearning on the inside to aid and assist to remove the suffering, even though he didn't have the power to do it. He didn't have the power to make his servant well. He's almost dead, and he's in excruciating pain. And this man has something on the inside and said, "I've got to get help for him. I've got to do something to relieve this suffering and this pain." And so he went to the one that he knew that had authority. over everything. Amen. Glory to God. He sought out Jesus, and when Jesus said, I will come and heal him, Jesus said, I will come and heal him, because he was responding to the soldier's compassion. So when you bring compassion to the Lord, when you move with compassion, I'm going to tell you, you're moving with God. Hallelujah. His compassion moved Jesus to the point that Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Glory to God. Compassion played a part in strong faith. You have to have compassion. Compassion moves the heart of God. And the Bible talks about how Jesus was moved with compassion. And every time Jesus would move with compassion, somebody got blessed. Somebody received a miracle. Somebody got healed. Somebody got fed. Every time he moved with compassion, somebody's life gets better. Every time God moves with compassion, suffering is eliminated or removed. Amen? Praise God. And so Jesus is moving with compassion too. He just healed a leper and wasn't afraid of the leprosy, went and put his hand on a leper. Let's examine this officer here, this Roman officer. The first thing, he had compassion. The second thing, he had a humble mind, and he showed humility by the statement that he made. He publicly pleaded with Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got a servant at home that's grievously tormented. He's in excruciating pain. And notice the statement that he made. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. These words show that he had the highest honor and respect for Jesus. I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house. My house is not worthy of you. He had the highest respect and the highest honor for Jesus. I don't know if he felt that way about anybody else, but he felt that way about Jesus. I'm not even worthy for you to even come under my roof. So we see that strong faith, great faith, highly esteems Jesus. Hold him in high esteem. Holds him in a place of honor. These words show that he had the highest honor and respect for Jesus. He was not arrogant or self-centered. He made no mention of who he was, no formal introduction at all. So he was a humble man. Humility, that's another reason why Jesus went. So you can move Jesus in a lot of ways. You can move Jesus with your compassion, but you can move him with your humility too. Because God gives grace to the humble. He got everything going. You see why Jesus says faith is great? This man got compassion going. He got humility going. Humility, God gives grace to the humble. There's no way Jesus can tell him no. There's no way for Jesus to say, I ain't coming. There's no way Jesus is going to say, I'm sorry, but not today. He's got too much going on in his heart. This soldier, this officer, this Roman officer got too much going on for Jesus to tell him no. Number three, he demonstrated his understanding of authority and the power of words. Notice what he said. I am a man under authority. What does that mean? He mean, I'm an officer in the Roman army, but I got a superior officer. He said, I'm a man under authority. I've got people over me. And then he understood this. He said, I am a man in authority. I've got people under me. I'm under somebody, but I got other people under me. So he understood authority. And then he made this statement. I get things done. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said, I get things done by words. I say to this man, go. And he goes because I'm in authority. I say to another one, come. And he comes. I say to a servant, do this.
and they go do it. He said, I get things done by my words. Amen.
Glory to God. Now, when he made that statement, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He's saying something else. He's saying more than was on that page there. And that's what Jesus is looking into. He recognized Jesus' authority over everything, spiritual or physical. That everything was under Jesus' authority. And because Jesus was in authority, all he had to do was say. He said, just like I command humans that are under my authority, Jesus, you command everything that's under you, and sickness and disease, this condition that my servant has is under your authority, and all you got to do is speak to it, and it will be gone, and my servant will be healed. When he made that statement, he didn't use a lot of words. But his actions showed that he had compassion. His words showed that he had humility. Amen. And his words showed that he had faith. His words revealed the faith that was in his heart. Faith can be heard. Faith is released through words. How many of you are able to speak words? Then you are able to release faith. If you can talk and release words, then you can say a faith command. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's get this here. He had a heart of compassion. He was humble. And he demonstrated his understanding of authority and the power of words. Now let's look at Jesus' response. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. That means Jesus listening for your words. And he said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, not even among my own people. For your faith to work at a high level, you're going to have to cultivate a heart of compassion. You're going to have to walk in humility, and you're going to have to understand who's in charge. Do you know who's in charge? See, the soldier's saying, look, Jesus, you're in charge. You're in authority. Just like I can command soldiers under me to go, to come, to do this, and my instructions get carried out, you have the same power. But you're in authority over everything. All you got to do is say, be healed, and my servant going to be healed. You say, well, Pastor Greg, how does that affect me? How does that help me? I'm going to tell you how it's going to help you right now. Hallelujah. The soldier's servant was healed in the same hour. He received what he believed.